We've got what we're talking about here, our harvest celebration. And Mr. Kornatzer, if you don't mind shutting down ProPresenter, open up that keynote for me, that would be awesome. And so here's the deal for us. We've been talking about the harvest. Somebody who wants to read this real, actually, we'll all do it. So Luke chapter 10, verse 2, what is the harvest? Jesus said this. All right, so it says it right in the middle. And he said to them, if you got it, say, I got it. All right, let's read it together. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So Jesus said this to his followers in Luke 10:2. The harvest, so what's the harvest then? What is he saying when he talks about the harvest? The harvest, we talked about this morning, scattering seed, right? And the seed is the word of God, all right? So we are praying earnestly. This seed is what is sown. The harvest is literally the gathering of what has been sown, a natural time of reaping and joy, what's been produced through growth. God's harvest is plentiful because God, did you ever think about this, that God is constantly sowing seed? Like he never stops sowing seed. And so because he's the one sowing seed, the harvest is plentiful. Sometimes we think that the harvest is dependent upon us. Like we got to go out and share, and if we don't go out shouting, then there's not going to be any harvest. But the harvest is plentiful. It's just the laborers are few. So there's no question that his harvest is plentiful. His harvest is not lacking in abundance or opportunity. Jesus made that abundantly clear. But he also made it really clear that the laborers needed to collect the harvest are not nearly enough. So Jesus asked the laborers to do what? To pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to his harvest. So the harvest is literally waiting for workers to come and collect what God has planted. And so every day we've been planning, we've been praying twice a day at 10:02 and 9:38 that God would use us to send out laborers into his harvest. One of my favorite stories from just that opportunity has been walking through Walmart and hearing an alarm go off with my alarm of somebody in the next aisle. All right, now that's cool stuff. I mean, that's fun. You just say, all right, it's time to pray. You know, and the people pray, Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest field. God's moving simply because his church is praying. Like, I don't understand how it works, but I know that God limits his activity to the prayers of his people. He is infinite, can do whatever he wants, but he will limit his activity to the prayers of his people. It's amazing how he includes us in that process. He didn't have to do that, but because he's so amazing, that's what he does. So we've been praying, God, use us to plant 20 churches and to send 20 missionaries over the next 5 years to collect your abundant harvest. So the answer to our praying will be all of us sending and going to our neighbors in the nations, teaching them to be real people, walking with Christ, inviting others, and serving together. So the resources then to support our sending and going will be you and I giving to the harvest. So how do we give at Parkway? That's a question I want to ask. I want to kind of pose a couple things before us. We give it at Parkway through two primary means. The first one is the harvest tithe. And you say, Pastor, why are you putting harvest in front of everything? Because Jesus did, okay? And so I want us, I think sometimes in our Christian living, we separate everything and put it in little boxes, and we forget that our day-to-day, weekly giving as a church is part of the harvest. Like, we give a harvest tithe. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but we also give the harvest offerings, and we're going to talk about that after. I just want to open up our attention to a couple of things. We follow here the biblical teaching of giving to tithes and offerings, and giving that to the Lord of the harvest for souls. So when we give to the harvest tithe, put up that next slide. When we give to the harvest tithe, we literally send laborers to reach the nearest harvest field in Chesterfield, Powhatan, Richmond, and Amelia. There's an old saying, and it's a true saying, that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest where? At home. The harvest tithe that you and I give week in and week out is used to provide a welcoming place of worship for our community, pastors to shepherd us and equip the body for acts of service, staff to support the work of the gospel, teachers and resources to disciple our children and students, resources for the entire church body to reach our neighbors and the nations, and to equip the body to labor in evangelism, in missions, in discipleship, and ministry. So I wanted to just kind of put this picture out, because some of us, we may give, and we don't even remember or know and understand how our giving is used here at Parkway to collect the nearest harvest field. So Parkway, did you know Parkway tithes? If you were to give $100, Parkway tithes 10% of every $100 that comes in. Every dollar that comes in is 10%. So if you were to give $100 on a Sunday morning, $10 is automatically going to go to the SBCV through an initiative called the Cooperative Program. Everybody wave at Pastor Brian and say, hello, Pastor Brian. All right, this man is literally charged, okay, with another man called Eddie Irvine with taking all those dollars and making sure they go to the right mission fields. That's a mighty big calling, okay? I am glad that we have a trustworthy servant doing that, aren't you? And so he doesn't touch the money, by the way. That's Eddie's job. But anyway, his job is to make it look good, and so he does. But $10 goes to the SBCV. Of that $10, and this is on the back. If you guys look on the back, it's a little bit of a better picture there for you. Of that $10, $4, oops, sorry, that's somebody's cup. But it's a UNC cup, so who cares? I'm just kidding. That's bad. I didn't do it on purpose, I promise. So $4.90 goes to mission work through the SBCV, all right? And so that stays in the state and is used for missionary work inside this Commonwealth of Virginia. $5.10 goes to the cooperative program. Of that $5.10, $2.55 goes immediately to the IMB. So tonight, we have missionaries that are with us that have been sent out or are currently in process of being sent out through the IMB. One lady is named Maria, and the other lady's name is Elia, and both of them are going to South Asia. So Maria, would you stand for us? And then Elia, would you stand for us? They're here hanging out with the Bartons. Stay standing us just for a couple moments. So I can't say this out loud, but I can say, Maria, if you're familiar with our work in South Asia, she's going to work with our primary partners in South Asia. If you're familiar with a sweet couple that we all love and know that lives in another part of South Asia, Elia is going to go live in the same country that they live in, all right? I'm being as clear as I can possible. So I think it's super keen, all right? Peachy keen, that's a word for you kids. This is the goat, all right, for you. All right, this is the greatest of all time, that these guys are going to work alongside partners with us. Now, are they sent out by Parkway? Well, technically, no. They're not our people that we've sent out. But dollars that you give every week, because you're part of the harvest tithe, have gone to put these folks on the field and have gone to help train them to go. So, sisters, we are thrilled that you're going. We are glad that you're laboring to one of the hardest places on earth, and we love you for it. We love the gospel for it. So praise God for you. Can we just thank them one more time? So while they stand, some people put their hands on them, if they would, and just lay hands on them. We're just going to say a prayer for them as they prepare to go. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your love. God, we thank you, Lord, for the resources, God, that are given week in and week out, God, that are part of the harvest, the local harvest here at Parkway, God, that even that we tithe, Lord, so that others may go and others may hear and live. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for Maria. God, I thank you for Elia. I thank you that they are the beautiful hands and feet that Paul wrote about in Romans. God, I pray, Jesus, as they go, Lord, that they would be empowered. Lord, that they would remember their job is to simply sow the seed. And God, your job is to do the supernatural work of transformation, of salvation, God. Lord, I pray that they would go in peace, Father. I pray that they would be encouraged and that they would know that we pray for them and that we give so that they might go. And we pray these things in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so $2.55 goes to the IMB. Another $2.55 goes to what's called the North American Mission Board, which goes to help church planting here in the United States. Seminaries, which all of your pastors are beneficiaries of those seminaries, and also what's called the ERLC. The ERLC is an organization or an initiative or commission, really, called the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Led by a man named Russell Moore. You may have heard his name, seen it on the news. Part of your giving goes to make sure that these folks are engaging with our government and advocating on our behalf, writing articles to help us know how to think biblically and ethically so that we can pontificate and talk in a culture. So kids, especially high school kids, I know Caleb and Ben, you guys have started an amazing website called Grounds for Faith, right? Grounds for Faith. A lot of their interaction has been with blog posts or with journals that have been written by guys who write for the ERLC. And so I would highly, highly encourage you, if you haven't checked out their website, go check out their website and check out the ERLC as well and see how God is moving and helping us be able to have those gospel conversations and to be informed about the issues of our day. Part of your giving every week goes to make sure that that's available and part of that's happening. So the other $90, that's $10, Pastor. What happens to the other $90? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you go down a little bit further, of that $90, $7.56 is used for Parkway Mission Endeavors. So even after we send out the $10, we use almost another $8 to make sure that we're being sent to the nations to support other ministries like Noble Warriors, like other ministries that we partner with, other gospel partnerships that we have. And then $82.44 is used locally to reach our neighbors. Now, Pastor Mac pointed out something. He's like, I don't know if I like that. He sent me a text. We'd already printed these. He was like, we need to make sure people understand, like, we don't use all that money just in Chesterfield. That money is used to help even send more people out. We could really say all $100 is used for missions. But part of that is to help us have a good sending center here so that we can go. So that's the harvest tithe. If you've got it, say, I got it. That's how we begin. That's how we accomplish the harvest work. And can we just do this? Mike Young has taught me this. We need to often celebrate who God is and what he's doing in and through our body. Can we just like do a hoop holler and praise Jesus for the fact that we have an amazing harvest tithe? We really do. You may look at the back of the bulletin if you're some of those like more like nitpicky folk and go, eh, we're at 92%. We still got 8% to catch up. And we do. All right, we do. And tonight's not about that. Hear me loud and clear. Can we just praise God for what he's done thus far this year? You ready? Let's do it. Come on. So let me just voice a prayer of thanksgiving. God, thank you, Lord, for the resources that have been given thus far and that will be given the rest of this year, Father, that are part of our tithe, Lord. That's the 10%, God, of what you've given us, Lord, that we might be able to stewardly give it back to you. Lord, for the advancement of the gospel, Lord, for the harvest. And we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I don't want to steal any more of Pastor Brian's time because I know he's got a word the Lord's placed on his heart. But I just want to run through these next slides just for so that you have a good overview. So that's our harvest tithe, but there's another arm to our giving, and that's our harvest offerings. Really, there should be an S on that. And so throughout the year, we've got really four offerings that we give to. One's the Acts 1:8 Global Missions offering. That puts missionaries on the field. Part of that money goes to Lottie Moon, which goes to help support missionaries with the IMB like Maria and like Elia. And then also we've got a couple missionaries with the IMB that are part of our harvest partners that are the Tackets. Help me out real quick. Colton Riley Tackett. All right, that's their pseudonym. And so all of that money, that's also the four missionary couples that we directly support. All of that comes from Acts 1:8 Global Missions dollars. So if you want to be supporting Nick and Jim Guarino, if you want to be supporting the Keyshores, if you want to be supporting the Wisdoms, who, by the way, have been watching this morning, texting us, saying they were so sad they were missing tonight. So it's one of our favorite events of the year is to come to this banquet, this gathering together. And just we're talking about gospel conversations that they gave testimony of. That's really how we keep those folks on the field, okay? Church planting, you may say, well, that's new, Pastor. It is new. We've been praying for church planting. We want to begin giving to church planting. So we're guesstimating somewhere around the ballpark of $100,000 for the next 5 years would help us put church plants on the field. Some of those will be church plants that look a lot like Connexion and Parkway. Others will be church plants that Donna and Gotham Keyshore are starting that might be church plants in homes. We've actually got a couple here that just wrapped up a training with seven other people called Four Fields Training, which teaches church planting principles, and they're going to begin doing a work among South Asians in Richmond. And they'll be starting those churches in the next coming months. So be praying for Debbie and for David Ainge as they begin that work. You have a heart to come alongside them. Come alongside them as they begin church planting endeavors among South Asians. Super exciting to see what God's going to be doing with you guys. Next space, and we don't have time to even get on those plans, but really we're seeing that God may give us an opportunity to build something for less than $1 million next year. We'll give you more details in January and February, hopefully, but we met with our pastoral support team and our pastoral leadership team and also our small group leaders, and they gave some feedback to the plans that our Next Space team said, and they said, look, it's not big enough. So we're like, okay. So they went back to the drawing board, and what we've decided, we're going to build essentially a larger facility than what they had put those plans out initially, but it's not going to have anything in it but a big open space and a couple of bathrooms, and that will be the beginning, and we'll put that on the ground. And then plans for it to be filled in with other classrooms, do things like that, will be based on how we give to it later. But hear me loud and clear, we are not going to go into debt for any of it. And we will not sacrifice church planting or mission work to get her done. Amen? And then also we have a passion for debt retirement. Debt retirement has been part of our weekly giving. But we wanted to put that out there. Our stewardship team said, you know what? We need to put this out there together as a special offering to say, if you have a desire to want to help us pay off the debt, just to give you an understanding of what we do, we pay about $165,000 a year towards our debt payments, okay? That's just what we do out of our harvest tithe, all right? And then on top of that, we've been making extra principal payments. Imagine if we were to be completely out of debt, we'd have $165,000 freed up. That's our entire Acts 1:8 offering. That kind of helps put things in perspective for us, right? And so we're praying. We're not asking you to give it all. Hear me loud and clear. We're just asking you to help us pray towards these goals. Amen? I mean, Ryan, you can stroke a check tomorrow for all of it, right? That's the way it's going to work. Let's run through these next couple of slides. So when do we give to the harvest? Well, Acts 1:8, we give to the harvest in these harvest offerings pretty much throughout the end of the year. So like October through December is when we focus on Acts 1:8. Can you see if it'll give me the rest of those? I think I can remember them. The harvest tithes every week. The harvest offerings, Acts 1:8, October through December. Church planting seed offering, we're going to focus February through April on that. So around Easter time. We're going to ask the Lord to give us directly to the harvest there. Next space offering, June through August. And then debt reduction initiative, about 3 months out of the year, we're going to say, hey, this month we're going to give specifically towards debt reduction. I know I'm throwing a lot at you. Everybody take a deep breath. Blow it out. You good? Okay, cool. All right, awesome. So be praying for that. But what we really want you to understand is you can give to any of these initiatives at any time during the year, just like you normally have been. But if I had to just encourage you with one thing, whatever and however God leads you to give, understand you're giving to the harvest. You're giving to the harvest. You're giving to the harvest. We're praying for the harvest, we're giving to the harvest, and we are going to collect the harvest of souls that God's given us. Amen? So here, Pastor Mike's going to come and talk just for a couple moments about how do we partner with these harvest partners. You'll see there's a list on the back of those harvest partners. Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Pastor Derek. It's really exciting to be able to come alongside of these partners and support them in a variety of different ways. The first way we support them is obviously through prayer. Prayer is the foundation to everything that our partners do. And so we want to be sure that we as a church, as a partner to these missionaries and to these church planters, we want to make sure we're praying for them. And so you have their names here, and you see that the Acts 1:8 supported partners there are the couples that we support financially through that offering. Pastor Derek alluded to that. We also have Gospel for the Philippines churches and pastors that our church supports. It's part of our budget and our giving as well that comes from the harvest tithe. We also have project-supported partners. These are partners that we partner with in different projects that we go to throughout the year, or go with throughout the year. And then we have church plant-supported partners that we continue to support through prayer and coming alongside of as well. So prayer is the first piece. The second piece is give. And so through the Acts 1:8 offering, through the harvest offering, through the harvest tithe, we're going to be supporting these partners financially. And then there's the aspect of going. So we can go in a couple of different ways. And in 2019, we've got two different ways that you can go and support and come alongside some of these partners. The first is obviously projects. You heard Donnie allude to his, to the Philippines. But we have 9 potential projects already lined up for 2019. 9. All over the world, which is exciting. And so there will be some sheets on the Welcome Center that will have the project locations and information. They were attached to the bulletin last week, and they'll be on our website as well. But projects are a way that we go. And then kind of brand new, I was kind of talking to some of our partners that had come back recently to visit, and I said, what would be like if you couldn't have a project come, like would it still be okay if people would come and help support you in ministry? And the partners that I talked to were like, yes, absolutely. And so I'm calling those opportunities. And so if you're an individual, if you're a couple, or if you're a family and you're like, hey, we'd love to go on mission somewhere, but we can't make one of these projects work, what we're going to do is we're going to provide opportunities for you all to go. So let's say a family of 4 want to go to partner with Mark Turner. My wife and I, we were talking about this the other night in the car. Like, what would it look like for our family a couple of days during the summer to go up to Philadelphia and come alongside Mark and Whitney Turner and help with their church plant there in Philadelphia? It's not a project, but it's an opportunity to go. Some of you are like, hey, I want to go help Mike and Jane in Romania with a youth camp that they've got going on this summer. Okay, great. We don't have a project going there that time of year, but hey, you can go, right? We can help you get connected with them and talk through what that looks like. I can hook you up with an awesome travel agent. I can hook you up with a company that does travel insurance. And so it's not necessarily a project in the sense that you've got a project leader and you've got all these meetings and trainings, things like that. But we want to release you all to go. So really, this opens up the door for you to think creatively for how even you and maybe your wife or you and your family can go and experience and be on mission and come alongside these partners and really be a part of the gospel work and the gospel fruit that's going on there. And then the other part too, so we've got praying, we've got giving, we've got going, but then the other part is sending. And we want to make sure that we provide opportunities to send people as well. And our young people, man, they are on fire to go and be sent. And so I've got a senior student and a college student praying about going and spending time with the Keyshores for 3 months next year. 3 months. And then I've got another senior student that's praying about going to some other country over there in Asia somewhere that I can't say, and partnering with a missionary over there. And so, and we sent Ben this summer to an area of the world that I can't say either. And which is awesome, And so we want to really really give you an opportunity to really think outside the box how you can partner with these partners that we support by praying, by giving, by going and sending. So we're excited to see what the Lord has. And so I have a little handout that talks more about the projects and opportunities, and they're on the back Welcome Center as you leave if you want to grab one there. But thank you again, Parkway. I'll echo Derek. Thank you for all that you do to support our partners and really to support all that what God's doing all around the world. It's amazing to hear stories and get reports about how he is on the move in some of the darkest places in our world and how he is just on the move. And these partners are seeing so much fruit. And it's just, it's an exciting thing to hear and a blessing to be a part of. So thank you, Parkway.